I have Mireille Goyer, and she is the founder and international team leader for Women of Aviation Worldwide Week. Now, I got to tell you how I met this lady. Do you remember? She calls me up and she says, hey, I have this terrific opportunity to fly in a light airplane into Le Bourget Field in Paris. You want to come? I mean, who turns something down like that, right? Right? Welcome, Mireille. It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's
She's from British Columbia, Canada, right?
Yes.
Where winter has just let go hold. I'm sitting here listening to the weather report thinking, oh my gosh, I haven't seen 84 degrees as a high in, I think, 3 months down in South Florida where I live. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, how hot is that?
That's right. It's the low is our eye right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, Mireille, tell me a little bit about how you got involved. Women of Aviation Worldwide Week really evolved out of the centennial of women's flight. Is that not correct?
That's correct. Last year was the centennial of women pilots. And by the end of 2009, I was actually just looking for something to join to celebrate that event and couldn't find anything. So I couldn't let it go. This is how it started, really. And thought I was going to make it a personal event. So I was going to fly in three countries that mattered to me and introduce girls in those three countries until I figure out the time to travel and the time changed, realized I wasn't going to work.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, let's send a call on the internet and ask all pilots everywhere to do that. That way they will achieve exactly the same thing as I was trying to do, which is get women and girls introduced to aviation everywhere around the world as a way to celebrate. Because I really think that women pioneer would be kind of shocked that we haven't progressed as much as they probably imagine we would have in 100 years. So the best way to salute them was to introduce more women and to start moving the trends along. And at the end of the centennial year, it worked out very well. We introduced over 1,600 girls and women in 36 countries.
1,600. So you took 1,600 girls and women for their first ride in an airplane?
That's right.
And you did this all through just putting up a web page and beginning a connective process of putting people together with each other?
Yes, that's it. Just placed the call and people answered it. That's all there was to it, really.
Did you have any expectation when you started it would become so large, so
fast? No. I didn't, and there is a lot of work associated with it, so I didn't expect that. But I was...
Well, that sounds nice. What was that? Big outside. Anyhow.
So I wasn't expecting that much of a response. And I think the response and the will, goodwill that people have towards actually increasing the number of girls and women in aviation is really what happened there. All of a sudden, somebody said it, and everybody wanted to do that anyway. That's all the magic of it. And so at the end of the year, I realized that although the centennial can be only 1 year, there was still a need to try to promote including more girls and women in aviation. And that's why I decided to create something new that is now an annual event, so that it'll continue for as long as...
So the Women of Aviation Worldwide Week, it kind of evolved as an annual event out of this one-time event that you created. And just even this year in 2011, how many young women have had women in general or girls have had the opportunity to go for the first ride?
In 1 week, we did over 700 introduction flight.
Wow. And the key to this is one of the places where you had the most response was where?
Last year was Canada and Rampton in Washington State. Those were the two areas that were most involved in all of that. They fought like crazy to get the title of most women pilot-friendly airport in the world. Mm-hmm. Now this year, Frederick was the city that actually won the title.
Frederick, Maryland, but I think they stacked the deck. I happen to know of a little aviation organization in Frederick, Maryland, and they may have helped you out with that cause, huh?
And they ducked out because Rampton couldn't fly. They were intent to win it this year too, but the weather prevented them from doing any flights.
Oh, that's tough. That's a tough one. The weather is something that you really can't predict.
No.
Ahead of time. You just have to go with it. And since it's in March, the weather can be what it's going to be. Now, you've had some very, very good response out of other places in the world, though, too, that might startle you. Where are some of the unusual places where you've had more than 10 girls get a chance to go fly?
That's Ghana, West Africa. They're going to be here. They are here. I haven't met them yet. But Jonathan and Patricia. Patricia was the first woman to earn a pilot license, a Ghanaian pilot license in Ghana. And she's out here, and her it's very important for her to turn around and introduce girls and women to aviation. She was lucky, she found Jonathan, and he thinks it's fine to have women there, so he actually was her teacher.
Yeah.
And it's been helping her a lot, and now they have this team effort to get even more girl and women involved. And they fly ultralights.
Yes,
one
they
at
do.
A time, and they flew 100 last year for the centennial.
That's just amazing. They've got ultralights. They've got Zenith aircraft that they've actually built on site.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've got an aviation academy. We're going to have them come on the show tomorrow, I believe, and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be pretty exciting. But you hooked into that medicine in the move, on the move, and were able to utilize that energy. It's interesting. Now they're talking about having a Women in Aviation conference there in Ghana in September. And Medicine in the Move, again, their aviation academy that
mm-hmm.
they've started is specifically for young girls.
Yes, and next year for Women of Aviation Week, we always have a theme. And next year, the theme is seaplanes. For two achievements, there were two very important achievements last 100 years ago next year. But one of them was the first woman to pilot a seaplane, and the other one was Harriet Kimby, that was Hélène Dutrieux,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was Harriet Kimby, who was the first woman to fly an airplane across the English Channel. So we made it a water theme.
Excellent.
Medicine on the Move is planning an event because they're building a seaplane. It might be ready on time.
Perfect. Well, a seaplane is a good thing to have in that part of the world where it's very difficult to create runway space.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot of dense vegetation. It's got to be cleared out. You've got to go back and forth and make a very rocky area smooth before you can land on it. There's a lot to be done. But we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Meantime, the other thing you hook up with are Young Eagles events, yes or no?
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of pilots, just instead of doing a flight forward event, they make it a Young Eagle event. We usually have a mix, no age requirement for flight forward events. But, you know, if somebody wants to be doing just a Young Eagle event, that's perfectly fine, actually, even more. Young women, studies have shown that being introduced early to something increases the odds that you will do it. So making it a Young Eagle event is wonderful. Though we had a young lady of the age of 2 in Rampton who took a flight,
mm-hmm.
and she was so excited, teeny little thing. She was so excited. She was blowing kisses at the airplanes when we were approaching to land. And since she has convinced her parents, you know, what a 2-year-old can do, to learn to fly.
Ah, that's wonderful. So here's hoping she can hang on to that passion for another 10, 11 years or so. And, you know, make that come to fruition. That would be really, really wonderful to see. It's exciting to know that you don't put those kinds of restrictions on, that your philosophy is you're never too old, you know, you're never too young to introduce aviation into your life. I know in my case that if my father hadn't been so interested in aviation and pretty much put me in the airplane, you know, from the very beginning, I might not have thought that was something natural that I should just go and do. I mean, what pulled you into it?
It was pretty much a hazard, really, because I did have a environment that somehow led me to be interested in it. And mostly my mother was crazy about the idea of flying. She talked about it like it was the coolest thing to do, although she had never flown. So there was that seed in the back of your head that this type of activity is really cool to do. But it wasn't until later on, when I started working as a young professional, that I actually drove to the airport and started learning to fly. The first flight that I ever did was coming to the United States in a big 747, and I loved it. I mean, the feel and everything, even in a 747 did the trick. And that didn't mean that I was going to fly myself, right? Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed flying. I knew that. So it was just, you know, a set of circumstances. Actually, I feel very lucky because I learned actually in my late 20s. So I was pretty young when I learned to fly.
That's terrific. Okay, so Mireille, if people want to find you, it's womenofaviationweek.org. That's right?
That's correct.
Thank you so much for taking the time to see us today. Have fun.
Thank you.